Today is Thursday, September 5th, 2024, and if we can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if we call Pastor Nelson up, just for the invocation.
This is a reading from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I'll praise the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Let's pray. Lord God, you alone are worthy of our praise and adoration. For you give us the very lives that we have and all that fills them. Under you, you have instituted all forms of government. We pray, Lord, that you will be with all the leaders of government, that they will lead in ways that benefit those they serve, and that they will always be mindful that those they serve rely on them to make good choices for the people and for the environments that they serve. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. First on the agenda is attendance. Father Ronnie, Pasca, or here. Artavia?
Here.
Davis?
Here.
Grinstead?
Here.
And Mayor Berman?
Here.
Next, we have agenda approval.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda, take off July statement. The office didn't get that done in time.
The consent agenda?
Yes, please.
We have a first. Is there a second?
A second.
We have a first by Councilman Davis, a second by Councilman Artavia. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and motion carries. So then next up on the agenda is public comment period. Anyone that would like to come up to the podium and speak, this public speaking, public comment period is for those things that are on the agenda. First call, state your name.
Elizabeth Fleming, and under new business on 14, it says Board of Adjustments Various Discussion. It doesn't say what that discussion is on, so is there
It is on the variance that was brought up
at the
P&Z.
At the Board of Adjustments? Okay, so that's what I wanted to address. So, because I'm on the Board of Adjustments and I wanted to explain why the board did what it did, because we went against the recommendations of the city engineer. So, first of all, that development is a PUD. For those of you that don't know what that is, PUDs don't go by the city ordinances. They have exceptions to their lot sizes, to their road sizes, etc. So that particular development was designed with the driveway plotted. There are two neighbors that are interested in purchasing lots next to them and joining those lots to theirs. So they live right across from each other. Those lots would mirror each other. The neighbors have all signed statements saying that it's okay with them. They have no problem with that. So we're not actually adding a driveway to that street. We're allowing a driveway that's there. And once again, I want to point out that it is a PUD. It isn't just like part of Lincoln. The PUDs do things differently. I do have photos. I drove around Lincoln, and there are multiple homes in Lincoln that are not in PUDs that have separate garages from their homes with separate driveways adjoining those garages. So if anybody needs those, I would be very willing to share them. So that was just the explanation of why we did what we did. Is at the beginning of it all, it's a PUD.
Can you point out where those are at?
Or what are you talking, which?
Can you point out on the map where those are at? It's Dakota Breeze, and it would be on the northwest side of Lincoln.
Yeah, it's up here, and so the lots that have the homes on are actually R1, and then the lots next to them are PUD. So there would be a zone change technically, but the underlying zoning is the same. So, I mean, the process would be a lot combination for both of them, which, I mean, it hasn't been presented yet.
Right, so their request is to be able to have that driveway if they purchase these lots and adjoin them. Lincoln's ordinances say you cannot have a lot with just a garage, it has to have a home. So if they join that to their lot, it will be a double lot. Lincoln's ordinances say you can't have two driveways. So there lies the issue that we allowed them to have the extra driveway because it was already plotted for that street. We're not adding an extra driveway, and it wouldn't create any issue for the snow removal and things like that. So anybody else have questions about that?
Is the house in a PUD, or is it just the garage thing that they want to buy?
Just the garage, right?
Well, there's no garage at all. Nick Newstead, representing City Engineering tonight here. So right now the two lot, or the landowners, are in R1, and then directly next to them where the PUD starts. So they want to, from my understanding, purchase those lots and then combine them. But there is a whole process for that, and applications, and that has to go through, you know, P&Z and everything like that. So I guess the actual variance request that was approved, from my understanding, was just for that driveway to, if all of the other things fall into place for them, then the driveway is going to, or would be approved, I guess.
Only for those people. Just if those people don't purchase it, that approval goes away.
Who is it that's setting up a PUD, though? And where is that PUD going?
Excuse me. If you'd like to comment, please come to the podium.
I'm Lori Reese, and I didn't know anything about this, and I'm just wondering, where is the PUD going? What's all involved with the PUD? How is that going to work, being adjoined? How is a PUD going to work adjoined to a residential lot? Like, who approved a PUD, and where is it going, and what's the deal with it? I've never even heard of this before.
PUDs have been around for a very long time. It's already been PUD'd before it was purchased.
So that's been as a PUD for a long time?
Correct, yes.
How long?
That I have no idea.
Probably 4 years.
For 4 years, which is not a very long time. And if you really look into PUDs, if you really do your research on PUDs, they're not as great as you think they are. If you don't have a staff to take care of them PUDs and all the problems with them, you're setting yourself up.
I guess I'm the one that asked to put this on the agenda, and I guess maybe now is the time to talk about it. Here's what my concern is as a city attorney, is that the city has ordinances that create a board of adjustment. The way the process is supposed to work is the citizen who is looking to do some kind of construction completes an application to the city, which would be a complete application of what their intended construction would be or whatever the activity is. And then the city engineer or the building inspector denies that application based on the application of the city zoning. And then the citizen has the right to go to the Board of Adjustment and ask the Board of Adjustment for a variance. And what's supposed to happen is that completed application with all the plans and everything that the citizen is asking is supposed to get transmitted to the Board of Adjustment. And then the Board of Adjustment is required by the city's ordinances to make specific findings that are set out in the ordinance before the Board of Adjustment grants a variance. The reason I wanted to bring this to the attention of the council is that that process was not followed here. And I'm concerned that if it's important to the city, this isn't a legal issue, it's a political issue, but if it's important to the city to have kind of uniform application of zoning, which is what we just went through with the development and saying we're not going to do PUDs anymore, we're not going to have spot zoning where it's different throughout the city, we're going to try to have some kind of uniform application, then the Board of Adjustment and the City Council need to be on the same page as to what the city's going to allow when people come looking for a variance from the application of the zoning laws. The city engineer recommended that these applications not be granted, in part because the applications were not complete. And my understanding is of what the Board of Adjustment did is they given conditional permission to place second driveways on these lots. And so my fear is these landowners are going to go out and buy these lots, but the only part of the variance that they now possess is the part that allows them to put a second driveway in. There are other variances that they're going to have to get from the Board of Adjustment before they can complete this plan to build these garages, because the garages themselves are, in my understanding, not within the zoning to have a garage without a house attached to it. So that was my concern, that what the Board of Adjustment had before it was not complete, and we're doing this kind of piecemeal. And I wanted to inform the council that how this process works is once the Board of Adjustment is ruled, then or made a decision, then any officer of the city has the ability to appeal that decision, and then that decision comes to the council as a whole. And so to the extent that the commission has any, or the council has any concerns about this, that's how that process works. And I know there was some confusion because the Board of Adjustment didn't have, I don't think it still has full membership. And I'm trying to get the city to follow its ordinances on how these processes are supposed to work and what planning and zoning does and what the Board of Adjustment does and the specific findings that are supposed to be made when the Board of Adjustment grants a variance. The ordinance, and you can change it. If you don't like the ordinance, you can change the ordinance, but simply ignoring the ordinances that you have is not a path for success for the city. So. That's why I asked it to be placed on the agenda, so that there wasn't any confusion that these citizens don't have permission to complete these projects. They only have permission right now, subject to appeal to the council. They only have permission to add second driveways. So they're going to go out and buy lots, but they don't have everything they need to complete these projects. And I wanted to make sure that was all clear. And I don't have an opinion on whether you should grant it or not grant it, but you should follow your ordinances, is what my opinion is.
Thank you, Attorney.
Hi, Terry, I'm the Director of Public Works. I just want to let you guys know, too, that the houses that have dual driveways, one driveway goes to their house is on one street. The detached garage has a driveway that is on a separate street. They are all corner houses. They don't have two driveways going to the same street. So one street has a driveway, another street has a driveway. They don't have two driveways on one street. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
of public comment. Second call, public comment. And third and final call for public comment.
Can I speak?
Is it on the agenda?
It is not on the agenda, and I think that was intentional.
Well, I am going to bring up, well, I guess I could just now. I did listen to the August 8th meeting, public meeting, where the annexation resolution was up for public comment. During the course of that meeting, it was stated that the tax rate would increase over that 47%. There were people that came to the podium arguing that point. I have spoken with tax director, and he did confirm that those tax rates would be over, or an increase of over that 47%. So I just wanted clarification on that. I was going to have that part of my portfolio, but it is.
Can you tell them when it would start?
It is effective January 2025 as far as the tax itself. Payment on those increased taxes would be in the fiscal year 2026. So it's not a 3-month period or a 4-month period before those payments have to be made. It is a year and a few more months. So.
Can I speak now?
And then yes. And please state your name.
Yes, I'm Lorraine Richard, and I'm with Belk Industries. We have property over on Sterling Drive, and I spoke very loud and clear at that meeting on August 8th that I think that we were being railroaded into this because there was no way it was physically, numerically possible for those of us who do not want to be annexed with this annexation agreement, which we did not agree to. I got up here and spoke, and so did others, and we had our facts from L.V. Minor at this county about what our taxes are going to go up. And someone called from planning and zoning got up and claimed his position on planning and zoning, and then made the statement that he didn't know where we got our numbers from because it was only going to go up 2-3%. Well, that was a blatant lie. And I asked him that night, I said, you owe us an apology. And he got up and walked out 2 minutes later. And I still think this board owes us an apology because you didn't do your due diligence when you allowed us to be annexed with the developers. And it's just negligence, and I would like that in the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Richards. And third, final call.
Marie Mills. I also have several properties east of Lincoln, and I agree with everything Lorraine said. This committee made a decision without knowing how it was going to affect 88 acres of private landowners. You guys went through with that decision. I think the priest before the meeting said something about this committee's job is to make wise decisions on how they affect everyone. You guys didn't do that. You have 88 acres of private landowners that you neglected, and you made a decision that will impact us greatly, and I'd like you to recall that decision or whatever you have to do and involve us in the decision-making process instead of just saying you can't do anything now and going ahead. Could any of you take on a 47% tax increase in the home you're at? And a lot of us have multiple parcels. It's not just one that it will be affected. Multiple. Could any of you take on a 47% tax increase? I would like a yes or no.
Good
Don't ignore me. Yes or no, could you take on a 47% tax increase?
I definitely wouldn't want a 47% tax increase on what I'm paying now. But my understanding is that we in the city would already be paying at that rate.
What?
So because they're already in the city of Pismont.
Since you're previously paying.
We're paying Apple Creek tax.
You're paying the city tax.
No, I'm not paying Lincoln. I'm paying Apple Creek.
And we're happy with it.
We would like to be left out of the annexation, the 88 acres of landowners. And we should have been involved in the process before the decision was made.
Mary, did you get a letter too?
Marie.
Marie, sorry.
I got the letter after the fact, after I came here and hand-delivered my protest letter. I got it after the fact. Because it was not delivered, because there was no one home to sign for it. I put the little slip in my mailbox requesting that they redeliver. They never did. So I checked in with my neighbors of what this Lincoln letter was about and came here, retrieved my letter in person, hand wrote along with my family, four other people, and did a protest letter. And it's unfortunate that not everybody did a protest letter, but we'll address that as long as we're standing here too. If every single one of those 88 acres of landowners had done a protest letter, it still wouldn't have been enough.
Thank you. Final call for public comment. Seeing, hearing none, we'll move on. Okay. The agendas, we see that they're out at the table. If anyone would like a copy of the agenda, we can make more copies. Okay, seeing none. Next on the agenda, number 7, is the consent agenda. Make a motion to approve the consent agenda. We have a first from Councilman Davis. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Councilman Bjornstad. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And so moved. First, under old business, is the sewer regionalization easement proposal update. Attorney Ruffin.
I'm sorry, I don't have an update. Everything's the same as it was last meeting. I hope to have more report.
Okay, so then we'll move on to the Moon Ridge Drainage. Will that be Mountain Plains?
Maybe I'll do that and you can add. So the issue with Moon Ridge Drainage and how I'm trying to analyze it for the city as a starting point is determining whether the stormwater management plan, thank you, was followed as part of the completion of that subdivision. And so we were out there today with the mayor looking at the physical layout and tasking the city engineer with giving the city a definitive opinion as to whether or not that plan, whether the as-built complies with what the plan was as a starting point, right? Because it could be that the developer didn't follow the plan, and so then the remedy or what we would look for as a way of fixing it would be different than if the plan was followed and the plan is just simply not adequate. I mean, that those are two different paths of resolution, and I want to have a very clear answer, and I want to be able to give the people in that subdivision a very clear answer on that point. And then the next step after we answer this first question, that will help us with the next question, which is what can the city do next? But I think right now there are a lot of assumptions that plan was not followed, and there's a disagreement between the city's residents and some of the engineering opinions that we've received, and I think we really need to get the city engineer to give us a firm opinion on that, and then we'll report back and come up with what the next step is.
Thank you. Questions for the attorney? All right, next would be the employment complaint update.
So, 2 weeks ago when we were here, we provided to the council a copy of the investigative report that was completed. And I wanted to visit a little bit with the council about that. Try to figure out how we got where we are. So the investigative report, which is public, indicates that the issues within the city's police force were not created by a single event or person and developed over time. And I'm going to visit a little bit about what our records as a city attorney show. What the investigative report indicates is that the investigator found that the divisions within the police department were created at least in part by former police officer Sergeant Hofer, conflicts at the city council level, and a gotcha atmosphere within the police department, and then finally a lack of consistent and empowered leadership. What the report indicates is that the city's police department divided itself into two camps. One camp supporting Sergeant Hofer, and the other camp more supporting former Chief Krill. The investigation was initiated by the council based on complaints about Sergeant Hofer's activities and behavior. As to Sergeant Hofer, the investigator substantiated that Sergeant Hofer's behaviors directly impacted the city's dysfunctional environment. Specifically, the investigator concluded that his behaviors are tied to the development of two camps. And then within the report, the investigator documents behaviors by Sergeant Hofer, which created divisions within the department. One of the examples is Sergeant Hofer working behind the scenes with nearly every, and I'm quoting the report, nearly every city officer to destroy a fellow employee. The other, I think, significant finding is the investigator found that Sergeant Hofer spoke poorly of former Chief Krill, and that also helped create divisions within the department. The investigator found that Sergeant Hofer's behavior carried over to other officers. So that was one of the factors that the investigator found within the Lincoln's Police Department. The second issue that the investigator found was that the city failed to empower the leadership within the police department. The investigator noted that Chief Krill believed she could not address behavioral issues with Sergeant Hofer because of his relationship with members of this council, or with former council, and that led to a problem of no clear chain of command within the police department. The investigator made several recommendations. The investigator did not recommend that Sergeant Hofer be terminated, but did recommend that had he stayed with the police department, that he receive supervisory and interpersonal communications training. The investigator found he is not exhibiting the characteristics of a supervisor. And I think that's significant from my review of the materials, because what happened when Chief Krill left is that there was no real supervisor within the police department. If you recall, my recommendation was for this council to appoint an interim chief. There was no interim chief, but it looks like Sergeant Hofer fulfilled some of those roles in the absence of a clear chain of command. And what we see, and I'll talk a bit more. What we see after that is this division within the police department resulted in one camp making complaints against the other, and the other camp making complaints against the first camp. And that continued throughout the time period when the investigator was gathering evidence on her investigation. So those are the parts, and again, as I started saying, this was not all caused by Sergeant Hofer. It was not all caused by any particular action of the council. And I think the city makes a mistake if it focuses on personalities and not on systems. The systems are what are not working within the city, and that's what the investigator concluded. The investigator concluded that the police department would benefit from the outside of assistance of somebody that could help with conflict resolution, and that the council needed to empower the new chief of police to create a clear chain of command, that the council needed to be less involved in the day-to-day operation of the police department, let the issues work their way up through a chain of command. And what the investigator found at the time of her investigation was that the police department had become a free-for-all as far as who was in charge. The investigator recommended training on work environment. What's significant to me as a city attorney is this is not the first time that the city has gone through this process with the city's police department. What our record shows is that in 2018, the city hired Great Plains Benefit Group to conduct a workplace investigation report of the city's police department, very much like where we are now. At that time, then Sergeant Hofer had made a complaint of workplace harassment or hostile work environment against the then chief of police. And that report, investigative report, did not substantiate that there was any kind of violation of law. And that report recommended that the city update its employee handbook, which the city did do after 2018. It encouraged the city council to follow the city's leadership code. And then finally, just like this, for the investigator in the report that we just received, indicated that there's a lack of chain of command and that directions directly from members of the council was creating problems with employment issues within the city. So again, if almost all the personalities are different now than were in place in 2018, and yet the city has the same problems. And I think if the city focuses on the personalities of the people who are here and not on creating systems to address these issues, you're going to be addressing these issues again in the not too distant future. And I think the problem for the city is that legally the city has a obligation to take seriously any complaints of discrimination or harassment. And because of we represent the city, we're often in a conflict, and so that means hiring an outside investigator. I don't know what this last investigation cost the city. I think the one that was done in 2018 was $7,000 or $8,000. And I can tell you that my office has spent a substantial amount of time processing and trying to make sure the city is following the law as to all the various complaints that the city has received from its employees, and now a substantial amount of time reviewing records so that open records can be provided to the citizens, which we're happy to do. But the better course would be not to have these issues so that we don't have this. Let me put it this way. I think the city of Lincoln on some of these things is spending money for more legal services than a city this size should have, and it's partly to do with the fact that the city's not doing a good job of managing some of these issues, which create legal issues which then costs the city money paying lawyers to address things that I think would be better off addressed with the HR function and training and some of those things. So here's what I think is the recommendation. The council really needs to work on empowering the city's supervisors, which would be the auditor and director of public works and the chief of police, to manage their employees and their departments without day-to-day involvement of portfolio holders or members of the council. What I would suggest is that if an employee of the city has a concern about their employment, that they be directed to talk to their supervisor, unless that they want to make a grievance or file a complaint of discrimination or harassment, in which case your employee handbook has a method for them to do that, and those complaints then should follow the employee handbook. But everything else should be solved at the simplest, closest level to the employee, which is by the supervisors. And members of the council should really, really try not to get involved in the day-to-day activities, because what I think happens is that the employees can manipulate that process, and it undercuts the leadership of your supervisors, and I think that the consequences of that to the city are not going to be good over time. Second, I recommend that the city look at hiring some outside human resource assistants, and I sent the mayor today that through the North Dakota League of Cities, there are some HR resources that NDERF, which is your insurance provider, has available, and I think we should work on trying to tap into some of those resources. And then, as I mentioned, the third is that the portfolio holder should, and the members of the council should, we should really work on a culture here where we address these employment issues as a whole here in front of the council, following the chain of command, and that we hold the auditor, or the city holds the auditor and the director of public works and the chief of police accountable for their departments, and that's the role of the council, is to hold those people accountable, and it's their job then to manage these other areas. So that's the report and that the city commissioned. While that report was being prepared and while the investigation was going on, the city received, I don't know how many, maybe 9, 7 complaints of employees of the city, some former employees of the city, making complaints against other employees of the city and current and former members of the council. All of those complaints, when they were received, were forwarded to my office, and we forwarded those to the investigator, letting her decide whether she wanted to include those as part of her investigation or whether she just wanted them for background. That's why nothing happened with those while the investigator was completing her investigation. When she completed her investigation, at that point, Sergeant Holfer had resigned, and we got knowledge that other members of the police department were going to resign. And so I directed the auditor and the new chief of police to visit with the remaining employees, determine whether or not they believed that their grievances had been resolved to their satisfaction, or whether they wanted to proceed with the grievance process under the employee handbook. All of those complaints, as my understanding, all of those complaints are resolved, except there is one complaint within the police department right now that the complaining party wants to have that complaint pursued, and it will be pursued based on the requirements of law and the city's handbook. That complaint is still confidential, and so it will remain confidential until it's resolved or until the time limit under North Dakota law has passed, in which case it will no longer be confidential. All the rest of the complaints that the city has received are now open, and we are working on processing those records and making sure that there's nothing confidential in those records that has to be redacted. And once that process is done, all of that will be available for public review and inspection. And one of my recommendations to the city is perhaps to place all of that material on your web page so that people can easily access it. They can get all of it at one time, and people can review it all at once. So I think that one of the misconceptions has been that we somehow have been hiding or not releasing this material or not talking about these complaints. And again, it's because the complaints are confidential until the investigation is completed or until the complaint is resolved. And we wanted to wait until the investigator completed her work, and we wanted to give the new chief of police an opportunity to visit with his employees, and we wanted to give the auditor an opportunity to visit with her employees, and that process is all done. And my office will continue to work with the auditor to make sure that anything that is open under North Dakota law is made available to anybody who wants a copy of it. I'm happy to answer any questions any of you have.
I don't think I personally have any. Thank you.
Council? All right, thank you.
All right, number 11 on the agenda is the mixer for the old water tower.
The auditor had that on the agenda for myself. There really isn't too much of an update at this time. I know the engineer for that project is currently working on getting the exact pricing on what it would cost. Sounds like it would be able to, the engineer feels that it would be appropriate for a change order for this project to include that in there, and it would be covered under the grant for the 60% covering. My understanding is that you don't feel you have enough information regarding this matter at this time to really have an opinion on whether it's appropriate that it is a change order or is a separate bidding process.
Yeah, I think this came up maybe a month and a half ago as a potential good deal for the city to take advantage of having a contract in place. And my only question is how we fit it in within the ordinance for purchasing services. I think the city has some flexibility within the ordinance, but I just needed more information, and that's why I'm actually wanting to ask the auditor to put it on the agenda, just because I wanted to have this conversation that we just need to coordinate, and I think we can get there.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of it at this time, and we'll get a little more information on pricing.
Okay, thank you. Number 12 ordinance to amend the continuation of non-conforming use of land, second reading. Section 9-03-09, and we will need a public hearing prior to that second reading in October. And you'll have that in your packets. I don't know if we want to go through the entire second reading.
We can't do the second reading until the public hearing. Yeah, so it's just on the agenda to let everybody know that we'll have a public hearing on that, as it's required because it's a zoning change, and then after the public hearing, we can have a second reading, and if the council is inclined, it can approve.
Do we have a date? I know this is October, but we have what date?
It'll be October 3rd. And the reason for that is that the September 19th meeting has been canceled. So again, that's going to be October 3rd for that public hearing. Item number 13 under old business is the city barbecue. The date has been set for Saturday, September 28th from 4 till 7 p.m. And,
I just want to verify that I did text Dakota Community Bank. Their grill is available. They will at least have one person, because they have to have one person with the grill.
And she was going to check to see if there were any other volunteers from the bank to help out. So we'll have to get together and do whatever.
All right. Under new business, Board of Adjustments variance discussion, I guess is, what are the wishes of council with regard to what you heard earlier?
I would like to, you were talking about it'll have to be rezoned. Is that what you were saying? If it's a PUD and they're appealing? I would just, I want a little more information. What was in public comment about which we got a different idea?
Yep. In order for everything to go as the landowners plan to, there will need to be, I believe, I actually can't say 100% certain, the attorney might be able to help with this, but I believe they will need to rezone through the P&Z board the lot that they would like to purchase and combine with their lot before they can go through with the lot combination, I guess. So that's my understanding of it. I don't know if that's a typical thing the P&Z sees around here or not, but it's my understanding that the PUD, that subdivision, the underlying zoning is actually R1, so they are, the underlying zoning is the same, so.
It's the residential zoning.
The underlying, which gets kind of muddy when you talk about the PUDs, I guess.
So when that zoning change happens, will it go from PUD to R1 again? Or
whatever the landowner submits,
But it has to be rezoned one way, because it cannot be two uses?
Correct. If it's one lot, it has to be.
I'm not sure that's quite right. I'm sorry.
Is it not?
So the whole idea of the variance is that you have, if you go to the Lincoln's ordinance on the Board of Adjustment, the idea is that there might be lots or pieces of property within the city that because of their location or their dimensions or something don't fit within their zoning category. Right? So the idea is then that the Board of Adjustment has ability and discretion to give a variance from what the zoning requirements would require of that lot. So you're not changing the zoning, giving the owner of the lot the ability to use the land in a way that's different from what the zoning would otherwise require. And so if you look at the ordinance says it allows for some relief from a strict application of the zoning to a particular lot. And so that part isn't really an issue. What's at issue is the way that ordinance is written is that in determining whether or not to give the variance, the ordinance sets forth some very specific requirements that the planning and zoning or that the Board of Adjustment is supposed to make a factual finding of before they give the variance. So the idea isn't that the Board of, again, the way the ordinance is written, not to give the Board of Adjustment just power to give a variance under any circumstances. It's supposed to make these specific factual findings as part of its decision. And at the last meeting, I pointed out as a lawyer for the city that if you are going to give the variance, you have to make these findings because that's what the ordinance said. And the Board of Adjustment didn't make any findings. And I'm concerned about that because if you're not making findings and you're not applying the law uniformly, you expose yourself to litigation. When one landowner comes in and asks for a variance and gets it, and another landowner comes in and asks for the same variance and doesn't get it, and there are no findings, that puts the city in a difficult position legally because it doesn't look like you're really applying the law in any uniform way. Now, chances of somebody paying a lawyer to do all this stuff may be small, but we should try to get it right and either follow the says what we said when we talked about the development. We should either follow the ordinances as they're written, or we should change the ordinances. So that's the issue, I think, with generally with the board of adjustments.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that, and that's part of, I talked to Greg a little bit more, and he kind of explained to me that's why he recommended denial on those reports. I think Councilwoman Kraska was more asking like what would need to happen in order for it to.
So this talks about that if this request were to be accepted, a lot combination would be required because an individual lot is required to have a principal residence on a lot. So if they're buying another lot and putting a garage on it, that is not a personal personal residence, right?
They would have to
combine. So you would have to combine the lot. So then at that point, if you're combining a lot, then you would have to have a zoning change because you can't have one lot have two zones, can you? That's my question. Maybe you can.
Correct. I don't know.
And then if you have that, then you're no longer in a PUD, or both of them are in a PUD. And do you understand what I'm saying? I don't like this.
Councilman Preston, you're identifying exactly what I thought the problem was. It was one of the reasons that Greg Fraser requested that this be denied was that the application is incomplete, right? Because what the Board of Adjustment did doesn't answer all of these questions. And so what I think should have happened is that it should have been a complete application where it was the entire proposal that the landowner has was in front of the Board of Adjustments, and they were going to give an up or down, and you were going to resolve all of these things as part of one application, because you're identifying exactly what the issue is, which is there's still more work that needs to be done before we'll be able to determine whether or not the variance is going to be effective for what the landowners want.
So I have a question as well. Engineer, council, mayor, attorney. Why are they adding their lot into this if they already have and developed on their lot? Does that make sense?
They just want to put a garage on it.
Yeah.
And so they want to add. So the way I'm understanding is,
but it's a separate lot though. Right. Like 5935 is their own whole personal lot, right? And then the next parcel is 5925 with nothing on it, and they want to develop on that one. So why are they adding them there? Does that make sense?
It's,
they don't have the space.
Maybe I can help with a little clarification since I'm kind of in terms of being on that board as well. These two landowners, they have their houses across from each other, and there are empty lots beside them. Those empty lots are the PUD. What they would really like to do is purchase those lots, merge them with their current lots, and then build a standalone garage on them. And if they go through that process, then they are looking that they would like to have a driveway from that standalone garage to the street. But the way the ordinance is written, if they merge those lots together, they can only have one driveway on that lot. So what the Board of Adjustments approved for the variance was essentially a conditional approval that if they go through the process of purchasing those lots, merging them through planning and zoning, getting everything straight in, then they would be allowed to have that second driveway, which was already planned for initially as being an individual lot. So all of that is dependent on them going through the process beforehand, like to get them.
So in all actuality, they should be going through that process before asking for this.
My understanding is that they were basically looking to have this approval to know if it's something they want to pursue.
I have a hard time approving something that hasn't gone through the entire process.
Councilman Prescott, just so you understand, the decision of the Board of Adjustments is final.
Right.
Unless somebody appeals it.
And nobody's appealed it, so this is just coming to talk about.
Somebody appeals it to the commission,
okay.
Right? And it's not clear to me that there's a clear process that the city's been following to make sure that somebody from the city is looking at what the Board of Adjustment does from the standpoint of the city's interest or these questions, and then file the appeal, right? The idea is that somebody should be looking at that, and I don't think as the city attorney that I should be the one making substantive decisions about these types of things. So I don't think I can file an appeal.
Can the council, is that something?
A member of any city officer can file an appeal. And that was part of the point of putting this on the agenda, was to make sure that the city understands how this process is set up in your ordinances, and to make sure that they're, from the city's, the code anticipates that you have a building inspector, and that would be the person that would probably be tasked with bringing this to the council and saying, hey, I'm the building inspector, I have these issues, or the engineer. But building inspector, that function I believe is done by Burley County, so we don't really have that in place, and that's part of the discussion I wanted to have with the council.
We don't have to approve anything today. If somebody needs to do an appeal to work with us.
Is there a time frame that an appeal would have to be done?
15 days from notice of the decision, I believe.
When was that notice made? Sorry for all the questions. Just so we're all aware of the time frame that we have.
15 days after notice of the decision to file an appeal with the city auditor, and I'm assuming that the date of the hearing, or the date of the Board of Adjustment meeting, would be the date that that decision was made. So that would be the date that we start that time period.
So we're looking at a week.
August 27th.
Thank you very much.
So is that something that council would like to discuss as far as if someone on council or somebody in the city is going to? Is that what we do here at this meeting?
Well, if the council, I don't think council should be the one appealing that. Comes to council as the decision. Council should be the one that brings it as an appeal.
It doesn't come to council. Their decision is final.
The appeal does.
The appeal comes to council.
Oh, okay. I was talking about the
I thought that's what you were talking about.
Oh,
are we
no.
going to appeal it? Is the council going to, because that's what I thought you were asking.
If we were going to initiate it, I guess.
Right.
And what your ordinance says is that an appeal may be brought by any officer, department, board, or bureau of the city. I don't read that as precluding anybody on the council from filing an appeal.
So that's a written appeal. Okay.
I think it would definitely be wise. All right, any other discussion? All right, Mountain Plains Engineering Report.
Yeah, we I'm stepping in, like I said, for Greg tonight as city engineer, Mountain Plains. My name is Nick Newstead again. The meetings that we have attended in the last couple months, the July 25th regular city council meeting, July 30th regular TMZ meeting, August 8th regular city council meeting, August 22nd regular city council meeting, and the August 27th Board of Adjustments meeting. As far as application reviews, since within the last month, we had one residential development application on 6990 48th Avenue Southeast, which is actually in the ETA, for a building addition, which was approved. And then the two variance requests that we have discussed a couple times tonight on 5920 Riley Road and 5925 Riley Road. Both of those were approved by the Board of Adjustments for the second driveway with the contingencies of the rezoning and lot combination process. Moving on, the in-process work that we have going, the Moon Ridge drainage, as attorney discussed already, we met today on site and began, well, the investigation, I guess, has been ongoing, but I wanted to get my head wrapped around what's physically out there as I dive into kind of the start of everything that's gone on over there. So that'll be a process that I'm addressing to in the coming weeks. Next up, the water reservoir and water main project. There's no change to TAM construction. At the completion of contract one with the preload, they'll touch up the gravel access roads and take care of punch list items. The contractor preload LLC did complete the tank dome and pre-stressing of all the walls, and they finished up the painting. And completion date was supposed to be October 4th. However, there's been some delays in delivery of the, what's it called, the valve vaults. That's going to push it back roughly a month. It's kind of where we're at. The project is still approximately $90,000 under the bid amount. I supplied council here a little bit late with the pay application number 6 for preload, and then also the invoice for more engineering, which I reviewed and would recommend motions to approve both of those at this time. Is there any questions from me or Michael's here with more?
I'll make a motion to approve the pay application number 6, and then for the preload and the invoice for the more engineering as presented. We have a first.
I'll second. Councilwoman Davis, and a second by Councilwoman Prescott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And we'll need a roll call vote.
Prescott?
Yes.
Bertaglia?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
And Durnston?
Yes.
Thank you.
And then lastly, the updates on the sanitary sewer regionalization. Not too many updates. I know attorneys and Greg were working with the easements still, I believe. The one update we do have is that the RFI that FEMA presented to us, we completed and submitted it back to FEMA. So it's again in their hands to review and get back to us. SEH will assist city with obtaining financing through the state revolving fund to cover costs greater than the grant amount. The city of Bismarck has test results from samples taken in March. They'll want a deposit sample eventually, which will be more accurate. SEH is updating their, Bismarck's updating their ordinance on industrial waste treatment program, and will share with us when complete. Attorney and Mountain Plains are working through the easements, as I stated earlier. SEH is working on the floodplain and Corps of Engineers permitting, and they have completed the plans, and they have been sent to NDDQ for review, and are still anticipating a late fall or winter bid. Thank you. Any questions?
The only thing I have to add, Nick, when you were looking at that Moon Ridge, make sure you just take a look at that grading plan. We're taking a look at the sketch. I think there was something with that that was, something was stated on it that maybe it was a little too high, but it still went through. But anyway, just take a look at that.
Yep. I'm looking at all of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
All right, thank you. And next on the agenda would be the portfolio, and we will start with Councilman Davis.
For the office this week, I don't have anything to report on, but we've been very busy though.
Thank you. Councilwoman Nebraska.
Just a reminder that at the Park Board meeting on September 17th, that they will be having their public meeting for their budget. That's all I have for right now.
Councilwoman Artavia.
We have received one resignation letter, and I have good news that we hired another new police officer today. And that's all the updates that we have for now.
Thank you. Councilman Bjornstedt.
A few items that Public Works has been working on. They've been removing the trees that have been hanging into the streets, spraying around the lagoons to take care of any weed issues, and cutting out some trees that have been growing along there, and mowing ditches. And I would also like to congratulate Director Shute. This last week he passed his Class 2 water distribution test.
Congratulations.
All right. Next, under my portfolio, I attended the North Dakota Main Street Summit in Rockford City this last week. It was an amazing event. I will go into more discussion on that at a later date if anybody wants any updated information on that, but I suspect there's another reason some of you are here today. So I will open up for discussions regarding what has been shared on Facebook. I will answer any questions that I can, but I will not be attacked. Okay? So if you want to come up and ask a question, you can ask one question after everybody has gone through and asked their questions. Then you can come back up and have a second, but we won't have one person dominating. So, first call for those of you that have questions concerning what you have been reading online. Second call for anybody? Questions you've been hearing online? And third. So I would hope that at this point you put that to rest. We're looking forward, not backwards. And as the attorney mentioned already, that the issues were long-standing before myself or Councilwoman Artavia, and it's unfair to the city, to the residents, to have to listen or read the lies, untruths that have been shared. So, next we'll move on to the auditor's report.
I just want to say we have hired a new gal for our front office. Her name is Kim. She started last week Thursday. We're glad to have her. My second item is probably more for Public Works, but I've been getting some phone calls and some questions about a fall cleanup, if you guys are going to have one.
There wasn't anything in the contract with Trans Trash, but...
So I know there wasn't anything in the contract with Trans Trash, but specifically, Terry, did we not have, Director Schumer, I'm sorry, did we not have conversations that we would try to have fall cleanups if possible? I don't know if it got put in the contract, but I thought the discussions were that we would try to have fall cleanups if possible.
So I've been in contact with Trans Trash, and I did talk to them, and he asked if we were going to be doing a fall cleanup, and I did told them that, yes, we would like to do a fall cleanup. I told them to get back to me on a day that works with them, being they are the ones that have more guys that have stuff going on. So I just said, let me know the date and we will do it. So I'm just waiting to hear back from them on a date, and I will let you know as soon as I know.
I'm sorry, interrupted.
You're good.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, and my next thing is, I am looking for a motion. I think we had briefly discussed this before about changing signature cards. Right, adding Amanda to the signature card and removing Perry due to the change of the president. So I would ask for that.
I would motion to change signature card for Councilwoman Davis to be on the signature. We have a first by Councilwoman Prescott.
And taking me off.
Can this be done as one step or could it be two steps?
I think it can be as one as one.
So we have a first, is there a second?
We did it last time as one, that's my third.
I'd second it.
Okay, second by Councilman Nordstedt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And so moved.
That is all I have.
That's it. Any other things before the council? Anything else? It is 7:12 and we stand adjourned.
I'm good. How about yourself? How about you?